Everybody, welcome to a Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside, as always, take you to three, hand it off to our buddy Phil Bonatti, his outstanding show behind the bench for the full 3 hours today. We have Giants coming up on 14:30, the Lakers on 7:90. I'll tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of our great friend Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. You can give them a call at 449-4500 for more information or go to the web at precisioneng.net. When we go over the schedule for today and the rest of the week, I'll also, once again, illuminate everything about the great fundraiser that Ed has for Fresno State football, and that is Engineering Yardage, entering its fifth season when the Bulldogs kick it off on August 23 in Lawrence, Kansas against KU. We'll get to that a little bit later in the proceedings. Paul with me today. Again, a difference in schedule has flip-flopped Paul in Jackson. We'll get back to normal in the next couple of weeks, with Paul on Mondays and Jackson on Tuesday. But Paul will be up in just a second right now as Jackson was with us yesterday. And our de facto co-host, Jackson Moore, also will be with us, as always, on Friday. Before Paul comes up, a couple of the reminders here. One, again, if you're looking at a late lunch or you're planning your dinner or you're just hungry, period, right now, mind you again about our friends at KFC, the terrific deals they have in the KFC locales of Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Right now, they've got their all-new Grand Slam lineup. We've talked about this over and over again, not only for baseball, but for basketball and hockey. By the way, anybody who saw Stanley Cup playoffs last night, tell you what I've told you before, there is no better theater than Stanley Cup playoffs. It's the greatest show ever whenever you have a chance to see the unpredictability that we saw last night. Again, just ask the folks down at Crypto.com about that. They're finally able to take a breath after last night. But any kind of spectator sport you have, KFC makes it even better for you. And right now, they have their terrific offer, the original recipe tenders, their crispy secret recipe fries, and their new mashed potato poppers, all there for you in combination with the incredible KFC sauces, so you can dip and dunk to your heart's content. You can get a two-piece individual meal for just $7 or feed the entire family or team or whatever you might want to do right now for just $25. Also keep in mind, in addition to the day-to-day special at the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, you've got the long-standing offers on Tuesdays like today, $10 for the 8-piece bucket. That's a terrific deal. Our pal Clovis Dave, I think, still has his streak alive of every Tuesday for the last couple of months. Keep it up, Dave. It's always a good idea. Also on Wednesdays, they have the Country Fried Steak for just $5.99. And for us, beyond what KFC does for the general public with the great food, we really appreciate the fact they have joined the Bulldog Bread Collective, NIL, for Fresno State. It makes life a lot better around Cedar and Barstow. So thanks again to the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. If you stop by to get a bucket, tell them thanks for jumping aboard the Fresno State train right now, because it does really help everything at a time that you certainly need it if you're one of the mid-majors, that's for sure. All right, the other reminder before Paul comes up, our longtime friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing want to spend a few minutes with the weather for you. Again, leesair.com for more information, or give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES. They've been in the Central Valley since 1981. They're terrific local people. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work. Really professional folks. So if you have any need at all, sure, hit them up on the web at leesair.com or give them a call at 825-5337. As far as the forecast goes, once again, the 7-day is the Why We Live Here forecast. 86 today, 83 tomorrow. We fall to 76 on Thursday, 71 Friday, partly cloudy at that point. And then there is that possibility of rain on Saturday. It's kind of been, yeah, we're going to get a shot at it or maybe not. It looks right now like we might see a tenth to a quarter inch, not a huge amount of rain, and maybe some snow in the upper reaches. but it is a possibility, at least on Saturday with a 67. Then it'll clear out no matter what, Sunday to Monday, 72 and 79. So it is a glorious 7-day forecast. The winds are going to be right around 10 miles an hour to cool things off in the 80s and clear out the air just a little bit. Anyway, a great 7 days in a great time of the year here in town. So enjoy it, and thanks to everybody at Lee's once again for allowing us the time. Lee'sAir.com, 825-5337, 825-LEE'S. Okay, all that having been said, let's turn to our longtime friend and longtime voice here, Bulldogs, and someone who is just about 3 hours away from first pitch in San Luis Obispo, Cal Poly and Fresno State, late this afternoon. Paul, how you doing?
Tony, I'm doing great. Your weather report made me check the weather for Baggett Stadium in San Luis Obispo. It looks like any red waivers are coming out to the game. It's going to be nice and cool. I think we're a little different from what we've got in the Valley right now.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, you're right about that, Paul. I have to laugh sometimes when we get some folks that do the weather that are from out of town, and they're talking right now about, you know, make sure you get your fans out. It's really hot out there at 85, and I'm thinking, no, it's really comfortable at 85 because we all grew up in the Valley where 85 in April, we are pleased about it, and we also know what's ahead of us. And, you know, look, the weather has been terrific lately. Always the postscript, though, we'd like a little bit more rain. But when you get to the coast, you're right. Sometimes you want to wear a jacket where folks there are not really feeling as though it's all that cool outside. Paul, I want to get to Fresno State here, Paul, but a couple of things first. One, you were at, and the reason we flip-flopped the schedule this week, you were at the Ryan McCarthy presser yesterday. What was your takeaway about the new basketball coach, other than the fact that he is a Tark-like aficionado when it comes to pressure defense, et cetera? What's your gut feeling about a very challenging job? It's been challenging before, but in this day and age of NIL, it's really challenging for those sports that are not front and center at every university. What about it?
Well, you know, I think you don't win games by winning the press conference, but you want to win the press conference. And, you know, his press conference was a breakaway dunk or a buzzer-beating three. I mean, it was emphatic. It was impressive. You can see Gary Classy and the search committee zeroed in on a guy who I think really believes in what he says. I think that's one thing. So I noticed about people when they speak. Down a prepared statement. He was speaking from the heart with conviction about what he's done and what he plans to do, and he sure sounds like a guy who has the courage of his convictions. And, you know, he respects the Valley. He made that clear. He's recruited the Valley. His style, you know, I think that'll be part of it. Can you... What we've seen with Coach Wahlberg on the men's side is a hard time recruiting the kind of depth that it requires to play the style he wants to play. It's a little different on the women's side because the money isn't so extreme. And what we're seeing in the men's game right now is the money side on NIL is expanding exponentially and making it harder and harder and harder for teams with Fresno State's profile to keep up. The women's game is moving in that direction, but hasn't pulled away to that extreme yet. So I think there's maybe a better chance of having that kind of strategy with the ladies. And yeah, I thought he hit a lot of great notes. You know, he talked about Tark, and one of the first things that Coach Q and I asked him was, have you ever met Tark? And he said, no, unfortunately. We turned around, there's Harry Gakian 10 feet away. He said, hey, here's one of Tark's old roommates. He'll give you all the stories you need right here. But I thought he struck a real good tone. He seems genuine, authentic. You can tell he loves his wife and his kids, and they're all in it together. You know, Coach Q brought up some references that he had made to faith. His kids were praying for him before he came to the press conference in the car. And so Coach Q kind of put him on the spot and asked him what Bible character he would compare himself to. And he said he loves talking about David and Goliath. And, you know, we've all heard that analogy and that parallel. And maybe you think it's going to be one thing, But he kind of flipped the script a little bit, and, you know, he said, everybody talks about David and Goliath, but David wasn't just some timid little shepherd boy, you know, hitting him with a sling. He went over there and cut his head off and showed it off for everybody. So he took it a little different turn that was a little more violent and victorious, but saying, you know, the style that they're going to play has a killer instinct to it. And if you look at his track record at Alaska Anchorage, that's exactly what the Seawolves did.
Well, I'll tell you this, Paul, the necessity to have depth will be there. If he wants to run that kind of pressure D, then without question he is going to be front and center about recruiting not only quality players, but the depth of quality players so you can come at them in waves. And that, of course, has been the issue, as you know, on the men's side, is the style that Vance wants to play. He has not been able to acquire that depth yet to be able to do that. So it's going to be a challenge for both teams playing at SMC, that's for sure. But we look forward to it, and I hope everything goes well for Ryan and the entire women's team. Paul, a couple of things I wanted to ask you about here. First of all, since you brought it up, I was talking to Jackson yesterday about what's happened with Wood and the quarterbacking at Fresno State. Do you have anything further to add to this whole witch's brew, if you will, about the combination of playing time, the ease with which you can leave a program, and also that specter of money and where it may have been a bigger issue in certain instances than it is in others? Anything you can crystallize about Wood beyond we just don't know exactly why he chose to leave at this point? Anything else from your end about it?
Well, I don't want to speak for him, but I think over time, if people pay attention to that, to his storyline, and what a tremendous young man. Great family, phenomenal athlete. Hope he has a lot of success in the Kibbe Dome. Hope we see him in the FCS playoffs. I think if you follow that story over time, you'll probably see that there was a personal connection there and an opportunity to not only guarantee more playing time, but also benefit financially from going there at this time because of certain relationships. And that's why, you know, as much as we generalize it all and, you know, think it's just a purchase price, which sounds awful saying, doesn't it, that there's a purchase price for a human being, and that's kind of what this NIL era is turning into, but there's always a unique story to each situation. So there are things that for a certain individual may trump what we think is going to make the decision. And I would say if you wait and wait for Joshua to address it and to see how that situation unfolds, I think it might make a little more sense than it seems to make now. And on the other side, you know, opportunities for E.J. Warner, for Jaden Mandel. You know, Jaden, I know, is going to go into the fall competing his tail off to try to be the starting quarterback, and Warner will do the same thing. And I would certainly expect that we're going to see another quarterback added either from the transfer portal or maybe one of the young men who was here that comes back to the fold. But that stuff that's happening now, it's just the amount of movement on rosters in all these sports, it's mind-blowing. And it's something the NCAA has to get a handle on, because there's no way it's going to end up in the best interest of student-athletes. It's eroding the relationship with fan bases. It's draining the lifeblood of college athletics, in my estimation. And, you know, I just hope that we see something done about it soon. Because the reality is, you know, there was another study that came out last week. 65% of the Division I student athletes who enter the transfer portal do not end up in another Division I program. So, you know, we can see the glaring negatives of the system everywhere we look. The positives, I think, right now are being grossly outweighed by the negatives. And even if you say, well, more student-athletes are getting paid more, is that really a positive, you know, given the way it's happening in some of the situations? So I just think that there needs to be some kind of intervention soon, or else we're not going to recognize college sports, and you'll see a lot of programs around the country. You've already seen it at the Division II level that start to drop programs, and nobody wants that. You want more opportunities for student-athletes, not fewer.
Yeah, well, you're right, Paul, and toward that end, and we'll move away from it and talk on the field about baseball here. We have talked over and over again about the settlement that's nearing conclusion up in Oakland, Claudia Wilkin, of course, the judge with the House versus the NCAA. And just yesterday, right as we were coming on air, you know, the NCAA, because we have the issues that have to be addressed, once again, there are gender equity issues that are sitting there, that's for sure. The guardrails that everybody wants to see in place have to be put in cement somewhere. It can't be nebulous. We've got a lot of that stuff, but the NCAA now had, what, 153 different revisions or eliminations they wanted to put in the handbook now. So we are crawling toward a solution to this that will take place between now and probably the end of June. And by July, as we've talked over and over again, virtually every school is going to have this in-house, and again, that has nothing to do with Grant House and the lawsuit, but everybody is going to have the oversight, so the responsibility of the monies around their school. Now, what they do with those outside influences, that's what's going to determine whether this works or not, but at least we're moving forward, albeit more slowly than most would like. That having been said, Paul, I want to ask you, on the field of Robert, thank you for two things. One, I'll address your email about baseball with Paul in a second. Thanks for your Easter wishes. Again, I can't get back to people privately right now because of the issues I have with my back and my limited time on the internet. But, Robert, I didn't have what I would like to have had meal-wise on Easter, but I do appreciate the thought, Faison. As far as on the field, Paul, Robert brought up a couple of things that we've talked about. One, only Cremarosa really had a great weekend, Fresno State winning 2-3 against Air Force as far as on the mound. And again, Robert brought up the bullpen. You have addressed this, that you have this shifting of guys in the pen to the starting rotation, and it has changed a lot of the dynamic there. I'll ask you, Paul, right now as we roll down the home stretch now, and the Bulldogs again home against Washington State, and then two of the last three weekends in conference are not only on the road, they're on the road at Elevation, at Reno, and at Albuquerque. Paul, are you comfortable with this pitching staff right now? If we were to be starting Mesa right now at the end of April instead of the end of May, would you feel good about it at the moment?
Well, I mean, there's multiple levels to that. I think you feel good about the guys who are pitching and the way they're competing. You don't feel good about missing so many good arms, but I do want to go back, you know, and you set it up ahead of time saying because of your back and the situation you're in, you didn't get to watch that much. So I know if you just look at the box score from Friday, it doesn't look like Anchor's best, but Coach Overland afterwards said he thought that was Jack Anchor's best performance of the season because of not only what he had to power through, but how dominant he was for the final innings after, you know, a rough second and third inning, and the fact that he got them that deep in the ball game with such efficiency and effectiveness had a domino effect throughout the series. Because this, you know, you feel good about the guys who are pitching. What you don't feel good about is that four of the Dogs' top six or seven pitchers are out. And, you know, two of them are clearly out for the year. Another one, Drew Townsend, who'd been probably the most improved guy on the staff, the biggest surprise, and maybe the guy with the highest ceiling moving forward, he broke his foot making a great play on Friday night. So now he's out for at least a month. Hayden Cruz hasn't pitched in a couple weeks. So, I mean, those are four really talented arms when you have Riding and Arriola who are already out, and then those two on top of it. You know, the casualties are mounting. But challenges like that are opportunities for other guys. And Anchor had a great start. Cremarosa had a great start. Caleb Hay didn't have the start he wanted. Air Force was very aggressive in the third inning Sunday. Really, you know, willed its play to a five-run inning with an overturned call at the plate mixed in there that certainly helped fuel that momentum. But, you know, the guys from the bullpen, they're going to have to take on more. So Caleb Anderson had some good moments in the weekend series, but he's going to have to do more. Tyler Patrick's getting more and more opportunities. They're going to need to rely on him. I still think Jared Gelang is a guy who, if you can dial him in, can get some outs for you. You know, Bryce Armstrong is all guts out there, and he's been very effective at times. I like what I've seen in very limited stints from V.J. Rodriguez, really live arm. So there's a lot of guys that are doing good things, but when you're down four of your top six or seven pitchers, you know, that's always kind of lingering in the back of your mind from a coach's standpoint. I think it's great, though, for the guys who are there, and I think it's been great for the team to say, you know what? We can't make excuses. We can't think about who's not here. The guys who are here have to get it done. And Coach Overland's response to Townsend's disappointing injury was to put it on the offense. Say, guys, we're just going to have to score more runs, right? It doesn't matter. It does matter, but it's not as big a deal to lose all these pitchers if we're doing what we're capable of offensively. And this team is capable of a lot offensively. They continue to play great defense. It's a phenomenal group of young men. And, you know, until one of these guys proves me wrong, I'm going to keep saying this is a team of no knuckleheads. And when you have the biggest stars, guys like Murph Gray and Jack Anker, who are, you know, the epitome of humility and have no entitlement whatsoever but lead by example, it's hard for anybody else to get a big attitude if those guys who are so talented and everybody knows it don't have that kind of attitude. So I think there's a lot of good things happening with that team. Hope everybody comes out this weekend. You know, Saturday's Mike Batesel day, so we'll see some of his former players back. Friday at 6, Saturday at 3, Sunday at 1. And even tonight, you know, it's Tuesday night. It's a different sport. It's going to have a different feel. But Cal Poly is number 20 in the RPI. So a win tonight against a team they've seen a couple times in Fresno. Now they get a chance to beat them on the road, which is an RPI bonus if you do it. That would be a big one for the team going into, as you set up, a real important weekend at home.
And, of course, the Bulldogs have not only Washington State at home, and we mentioned the last three weekends, two on the road, tough places for your pitching staff, but you have a very good defending San Jose State team rolling in from the last time we saw the regional or the conference tournament decided here. So the Bulldogs winning in San Diego last year, but San Jose State, Paul, has had success coming here, and that's going to be another big issue because more than anything else, and you and I have talked about it over and over again, it always was important to be as high up as possible when it was four teams, but as you've referenced and you're 100% correct, in this six-team setup, you absolutely do not want to be below 1-2. And, Paul, that San Jose State series is going to be huge in that regard. So I guess it is the Al Davis just win baby right now because there isn't going to be one of those take a deep breath kind of series left, right? I mean, you have four very tough series. The two on the road, you have an advantage over those teams, but on those particular fields, nobody has an advantage. So how do you view the four weekends coming up, independent of the non-conference games?
Well, I think, you know, they're first place by two games. Now, a win Sunday to finish the sweep would have put them up three games. That would have been, you know, pretty hard to overcome. But they've got a two-game lead over the field. They've had six Mountain West series. They've won five of them. They've got more road wins than anybody in the conference. They're playing consistent baseball. And, you know, the offense is really coming along. Murph's been tearing the cover off the ball. Sotomayor is really improving. It was great to see Munster have some great swings on Sunday. Sky Collins is a guy who's constantly putting pressure on the defense. You know, Owen Faust is coming along strong, but Trevino is still consistent. And that, you know, that's a great problem for coaches to have. Who do you play at shortstop? You know, every time Jet Ruby gets a chance, he comes through. I think that the team dynamic is really starting to emerge, how tight-knit this group is, and the kind of character that this team displays, I think, is starting to translate to the field. But Tuesdays have not been their strong suit, and that's no secret. And this is the toughest Tuesday game they'll play all year. You know, the only team they've played this year that's got a higher RPI or a better RPI than Cal Poly is TCU, who right now is number 16 in that metric. But Cal Poly's number 20. You're playing them on the road. This is the toughest game of the year. So if you find a way to win tonight by piecing things together and generate some extra momentum going into that home weekend, I think that would be a big step. And it would also get them back to even 500 on the season and give them a chance to move in front of that this weekend, which I think we would see them do.
You and I have talked a lot about 2011 and 2018 as two of the what might have been years. When you line this team up, Paul, versus those two teams, and I still shake my head about 2011 because that team, as you're well aware, had such great potential and had the misfortune of running into as difficult a regional in regard to the arms you had to face that anybody would have faced down at UCLA. But is this team, Paul, stride at all of 2011 and 2018 in the potential of what you could see from this year?
I think the potential is there. The pitching depth isn't there, right? I mean, that's the biggest difference.
Right.
2011, you know, you had an All-American at the front of that rotation in Greg Gonzalez. 2019, you know, Ryan Jensen, Davis Moore were pretty much two guaranteed victories at the front of that rotation. And, you know, in a way, you have something similar with what Anker and Cremarosa have now done for the last month, been pretty consistent with their starts. But I think they can do a click more, right? They give you a chance to beat anybody on any given day, and Caleb Hayes got to been every other week he pitches like that, right? He was phenomenal against Nevada. He's had a couple really good Sunday starts, and he's had a couple where he didn't get out of the third or fourth inning. And, you know, that with the lack of depth now, with all those injuries, that's one thing that could be an issue. But I think when you go through things, you know, Tony, you've seen it time and time again, regardless of what sport it is. When you go through things like that that you didn't expect it, that on the surface are not helpful, and that have an emotional weight of guys that you know have invested and now they can't contribute the same way, there's always a few different ways that can go. And I think right now this team is channeling that in the best direction possible. You know, after Townsend got hurt Friday and his teammates know he's not going to be able to play for a month. I mean, that's a huge piece of this pitching staff. His best buddy Justin Stransky goes and homers his first time up that next game. And it was, you know, the team felt, hey, that was for Drew. We're in this together. I think they have a cohesion and a togetherness that is going to be their best attribute down the stretch. So I do think they're the best team in the league. I think they're going to win the regular season title. And I know the Red Wave would love to see him win another tournament title and play in the postseason.
Well, look, by the way, you're right, 19, not 18. The thing we had talked about at that time, particularly at Stanford and everything else, is trying to have your best player be protected enough that people come at him. And Aaron Judge is facing this right now with the Yankees, and you and I talked about it last week. Aaron is hitting for average right now, and after a huge home run start, he got back to the long ball the other day, but there was a gap of what I think it was 10 games where he hadn't homered. But it wasn't that he wasn't driving the ball to the power alleys, and he was having success average-wise, but they're not really, and it was brought up by Michael Kay and the entire gang on the YES Network, which, of course, follows the Yankees each and every game, saying that until the guys behind Aaron start stepping up again. Now Chisholm has been hitting in front of him a lot of the time and now behind him again, but that they just aren't going to come after him. Robert had brought up Murf Gray saying that Murf did not have a great weekend in that regard. I've asked you this before, Paul, where are pitchers at with Murf as he started to hit? You had brought up to me, and you're right, that earlier in the year they might have been coming after him. He just wasn't making the contact he usually does. Are you seeing the MO of league in particular saying we're not going to come after Murf again until guys behind him start hitting?
Well, it kind of varies by team, right? I mean, there were some times where Air Force really pitched around him over the weekend, and there were some times they came after him. Sunday wasn't his best game. Until then, he'd been absolutely on fire in conference play. And I think you'll see a big game from him tonight. But, you know, there's a maturity there, a play discipline. His play coverage is ridiculous. You know, you can bury a slider down and away, and he might go get it even at his ankles and hit it over the left field wall. He's doing some pretty special things. And, you know, even on Sunday, you know, he had a couple strikeouts, but one of them was like a nine-pitch at bat. He hit a ball about 500 feet foul during that at bat. So it's even when the results of a particular at bat aren't great, he's showing you some really good things. And, you know, I think he's got an excellent chance of being the conference player of the year if he continues to do what he's done in Mountain West play. And again, as I said earlier, his best quality, his best tool, you know, his top two tools, and someone will roll their eyes, but they really are his heart and his mind and his mindset. You know, I've said on your program a few times, Tony, that I know other programs were dangling money in front of him when he was tearing up the Cape Cod league in the summer, and his mom told me a story the other day that was ridiculous in that regard, and some of the things that opposing programs stooped to try to pull him away from Fresno. But, you know, he was dead set in his answer. He's not leaving his family behind. He's a Valley guy. He wants to play here. And his mom and dad and his brothers, a lot of times his grandparents, they're at all the games. And, you know, that family foundation that he has, I think, is why he's so unflappable, why he doesn't ride the highs and lows. I think it's going to make him a great big leaguer. It's very similar to that guy who wears 99. When you know who you are, when you have the big picture in mind, you don't have to be, you know, rocked by the wave. You can ride him out. And I think Murph does a really good job of that. He's a great teammate, loves his teammates, and they love him. So, as I said again, this is a real special group of guys. And, you know, every team that I've been around over 25 years has been fun. But just from the kind of young men these guys are and who they are collectively, this has been one of my favorite teams to be around this whole time.
Paul, do you see any similarities at all between the 2013 Aaron Judge and the 2025 Murph Gray? When you see, and I'm not putting that on Murph Gray, you know, you and I were talking that, one of the worst things that ever happened to Eric Davis, who was a terrific player with the Reds and was still a very good player with the Giants, but the tag that was put on him was the old kiss of death when he was coming up, which was he was going to be the next Willie Mays. It's the same thing that happened to Cesar Cedeno in the early 70s when he came up with the Astros. Bobby Bonds, Barry's dad, had it happen playing next to Willie Mays, for goodness sake, in the outfield with the Giants, which was a good way that no matter what you did, you were never going to live up to expectation. When you look at Murph vis-a-vis what you saw from Aaron in 2013, what do you see? Any similarities at all?
Well, there's obvious parallels that, you know, they both showed enough their sophomore season that everybody knew their junior year was going to be their last and that they'd be drafted very highly. You know, I think there are times where teams might pitch around you. And if that happens, it's the other guy's job to make sure they knock it off because you make them pay for it. And I think we've seen some Bulldogs do that this year. They've protected him a lot better. And we saw, you know, what it did for Aaron last year to have a little more protection in the lineup and in the Yankees lineup. And I think he's in an even better situation this year. I think they both handled it great. And, you know, again, the parallel, and sorry for people who think this is too schmaltzy or too old-fashioned, but both of those young men have tremendous parents who, you know, that they have a great trusting relationship with. And, you know, that a relationship, when trust develops, there's a few things there, right? There's truth. If you trust someone, you trust them enough to tell them the truth, and sometimes they may not like to hear the truth. And then there's also just an unwavering care and that unconditional love. And I think that those are two sets of parents that have given their sons great foundations, who know how special they are, but haven't allowed them to think they're better than anyone else. And both of them model humility and grace and authenticity as well as anyone I've been around. So I think that's the parallel I see, is how Aaron managed expectations then and still does, and how Murph is responding to all the attention that he deals with now. And I sure hope we get to see him play against each other or with each other in the big league someday.
Paul, last thing for you is something that I asked you a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I was just talking to Matt Norville last week about what's going to happen with the softball program this year, and it's interesting, and I don't remember this ever happening before, but they're actually done, barring hosting a regional. They're done with home games already. Now they start the softball side of things in the Mountain West. They start their conference tournament on May 7, where it's 2 weeks later, as you're well aware, on the 21st, where the men will start, where baseball will start in Mesa. But to not have any home dates remaining after this last weekend is tough on the fan base. That having been said, they have a legitimate chance to make some noise if things go well softball-wise. We brought up years past where I thought, and you did as well, this team was all lined up. I mean, 2019 is an example where they really could make substantial noise. Do you share that optimism right now if this team can make it? And again, there's probably, as opposed to softball, not going to be a chance in an at-large. But if this team gets in a regional, do they have more potential than we've seen in the last few years? Is that a fair statement to say there is more potential on this team than we've seen the last couple of times where they had a fairly quick exit from the regional?
Well, that comes down to matchups too, you know. But I think, and they ended up with a really difficult matchup, right? Their first game was against the only team hosting any regional that hadn't lost a single home game all year. Nobody else in the country had as tough of a first game matchup in the NCAA tournament last year as Fresno State had. So matchup is important. But I think the way Anchor's pitching right now, he can beat anybody. The way Cremarosa pitched the other night, he plays solid defense, give him a little run support, he can beat anybody. Now, I think in order for them to make that run, you know, you just don't have a lot of margin for error. You have to get good starts from those guys. You probably have to get Townsend back from this injury. And you're going to need, as I referenced earlier, some of these guys on the pitching staff to take a little more on their shoulders, to gobble up a few more innings. Because if you, you know, if you look at it, Jake Reining, Vic Arreola, Hayden Cruz, now Drew Townsend. I mean, if you went into the season, you're thinking that group of guys, that's over 200 innings that those guys are going to count for. And right now, you don't have any of those four. So somebody has to step up. And that's, you know, the biggest, I think, vulnerability for the team right now is the lack of depth on the pitching staff. But that's also, again, an opportunity for some of those guys to prove that they're ready for more. And maybe we'll see some of that. I mean, that's what Tuesday nights in college baseball are all about, guys proving that you can trust them with more on the weekend. So we'll see if some of those guys are able to do that right here at Baggett Stadium. And it's I just pulled up. It's a beautiful day. The hills are still green, not brown. And hopefully the Bulldogs can throw a little red around.
Well, 5:05 tonight. Look forward to it. Paul, always appreciate it. As I let you go, I'll leave you with the witticisms of none other than our great friend Devontae Adams about the potential that he had to be a 49er back at home this year. And he said, yep, I heard they were interested, but my agent told me they were interested only in wholesale prices, and even at this point of my career, I'm still a retail guy. I thought that said it best, Paul, about what I'm looking at coming up football-wise for this upcoming season. So hopefully Devontae has it right. We'll see what happens to their former Bulldogs as we roll through the spring and summer, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of former Bulldogs who are doing a lot of good things. And just watching Taylor Ward play against the Giants the other day, you're just so proud of that young man and what he's doing. Austin Wins had the game of his life going back to Baltimore the other day. You know, I saw Jordan Luplow's parents at the ballpark the other day. He's finally healthy again after a catastrophic injury ended his year last year. So hopefully we'll see him out there swinging it again soon. A lot of guys who make that university proud and who make our valley proud. So hopefully it'll stay that way for a long time.
And I hope this is a great spring for both the bat and ball sports at Fresno State. It would certainly be nice. Paul, appreciate it. Have a great one and a safe trip home and a great weekend against Washington State. I'll talk to you later, my friend. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Tony. See you soon.
All right. All right. Our good friend Paul Leffler, take a break. I'll come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. He has the full 3 hours today. We have basketball on 790, the Lakers and the T-Wolves and the Giants coming up at 6:15 tonight against the Brewers. Tell you all about the schedule right after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:50, about 5 minutes to go in the show. Hand it off to Phil, his fine show behind the bench for 3 hours today. And the Giants, tell you all about the schedule in just a second. But first, one more reminder about our friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Again, they have the terrific slam dunk offer going right now. Anybody who's checking in for the NBA playoffs, we have the Lakers coming up tonight. Or, as I mentioned, the great drama that last night brought us in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Or if you're in the midst of baseball, whether it's the Giants and the Dodgers and the A's and anybody else, the Padres, the Angels, the entirety of California playing pretty well. Even the A's are playing okay right now, though they are going to very quickly be, within 3 years, going to be in Vegas. But that, whether you're looking locally at high schools or Fresno State or Fresno Pacific, if you're a spectator, if you're someone playing recreationally, it's a great time to grab a bucket or two of chicken from KFC. And again, right now, the special deal they have, the legendary original recipe tenders, the crispy secret recipe fries, and the new mashed potato poppers, which sounds great right now, all in combination with KFC's incredible sauces for your dunking and dipping delight. It's a great opportunity to stop by Fresno, Clovis, Selma, Kerman, KFC's, pick up an individual meal for just $7, or feed the entire team or family for $25. And again, you also have the specials going on that have been on for a good long while on Tuesdays, like today, $10 for an 8-piece bucket. That's a great deal. And also the country fried steak, just $5.99 on Wednesdays. So again, stop by your KFC's in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And also tell them thanks when you pick up your buckets about everything they've done now to be one of the solutions to the problem we have at NIL by being part of the collective that is BulldogBread.com. We really appreciate everything KFC does for this station, this show, and for Fresno State in particular. All right, the other reminder here comes courtesy of our friend Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. They afford us the time every day to tell you about the upcoming schedule. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, beginning on the 23rd of August, when the football season kicks off in Lawrence, Kansas, it'll be time for the great fundraiser that Ed has, and that is engineering yardage. For the last 4 years, for every yard gained through the air by the football team, there's been a donation given to the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State to benefit students there. The goal has been to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked out beautifully, and we look forward to year number 5. And I hope if Ed has some time over the summer, he can come on air with me and tell you all about it in particular. But Precision Civil Engineering allows us the time every day to tell you about the schedule. So once again, Giants 6:15 tonight. They won last night. They rebounded nicely after the very disappointing end to the road trip where they blew the lead in Anaheim in the bottom of the ninth inning. But they won last night. They're looking good in a very, very tough division. They have the Brewers tonight, the 6:15 pre, the 6:45 first pitch on 1430. Afternoon game coming up tomorrow, and that will actually take it back. Afternoon game coming up in a couple of days on Thursday, And so this series will wrap up, and the Giants will be hopefully in good shape in regard to the division. The Dodgers, of course, playing very well, and the Padres as well, and the Diamondbacks for that matter. But the Giants tonight at 6:15, over on 790, the aforementioned Lakers, 6:45, the pre. They'll tip it off at crypto.com just after 7, and it may not be a must-win for the Lakers, but let's just put it this way. If you lose the first two at home and the best of 7, your odds of winning the series, very, very remote. It's like, what, 5 out of 35, whatever it is, the chance to win. It's very, very slim if you lose the first two at home. So we'll see what happens tonight. That is, again, on the sister station, the Deuce 790. The regular shows, we're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. Phil comes up at 3 o'clock. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net. Phil, of course, 3 to 6 with his fine show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedeke. And again, great furniture there. Nothing like it in all of California. There's nobody that can compare to what Rod has there furniture-wise on El Paso across from River Park. And you can stop in and see Phil, and also give Phil a call on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Also, our friend Paul Meadows has two fine shows for you on 790, our sister station, the Deuce. 6 to 7 on Wednesdays, the Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. And then we also have Fresno Pacific play-by-play. Still a lot of baseball to come there. Also a high school game, by the way, between San Joaquin Memorial and Bullard coming up on Friday. But you have not only Paul with the Sunbird Sports Show, but on Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to noon, on this station, 1430, you have the long-running Central Valley Sports Report. That is also a very fine show from First String Sports on Saturdays. The other reminder is here, again, Bulldog Bread Collective, Marcus McMurrian wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, bulldogbread.com. Also, that fundraiser that they'll have at the end of May where they turn Valley Children's Stadium into a 9-hole golf course. Information for that, Bulldog information at BulldogBack9, that's 9 as in the numeral 9.com. You'll find everything you need about sign-ups, early access, and the exact particulars of what they're going to do on May 31 at Valley Children's Stadium. And then finally, to reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1, at att.net. And again, Belize Air Hotline, 320-1430. You can always reach Phil through that. Stop by and see him on Thursdays at Fashion Furniture. Thanks again to Jorge, and thanks to Paul. We'll talk to Jack Furtig tomorrow. We'll continue the basketball conversation. I'll ask Jack a little bit more about Ryan McCarthy and what Jack's point of view might be about the potential to get the kind of depth you need on both sides, men's and women's basketball, as we roll into the fall, and hopefully much more success on the court for both teams. All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. Phil is coming up. Have a great night. Enjoy the Lakers, enjoy the Giants, and everything else going on in town on KFIG Fresno.